Ah, growing up in rural Ireland, where there's a fine line between confidence and being
up your own arse. You got, like, your man thinks like he's God's gift.
I thought that had died out, but not in Mead.
No.
Mead.
I don't think.
How do you say Mead, probably?
Mead is a type of ale.
Yeah, how do you say the county we live in? There's a TH at the end of it. I'm
I think it's
it.
I think it's global.
Really?
Maybe not in America. I don't know. Confidence was always a conversation point in Kildare, for sure. There was no such thing as being confident. It was just cocky.
I've lost a lot of confidence in my mic ability because when I listened to last week's episode, I feel like all you can hear is my rating.
Apologies for that. That's my fault. There is a thing that I'm able to do with the sound that I didn't do with it last week. That's the first surprise of the show. You know the way I said I'd start the show with a surprise? Well, it's a happy surprise.
Oh, it made me feel
don't
terrible.
Need to worry about your breathing this week, Tina. Okay. I'll sort it out. I'll Thank just you. Do a better job in the production.
Okay, you are very
were
busy.
Were you a confident kid?
No, I don't think so.
I just disagree with this straight away. Okay.
Well, I have brought this up before that I was definitely confident up to the age of 5 in myself. I had a belief in myself that got crushed out of me.
Unshakable.
And I'm always saying we got to protect our little girls from this happening to them because somewhere along the way they start primary school and they're told to get in a, settle down. I refused to be walked to my nursery, all this kind of stuff. I made my own bed, all these things. I don't think I've ever felt a confidence in myself. But you were saying to
all of the stories of you as a kid are you punching guys in the dick?
Yeah.
And
that's called rage.
Takes confidence.
I definitely had a confidence in
you
that.
You wouldn't just shift a lad because he asked.
No,
you would punch him in the dick and go, my dad's going to box you in the face if you did that again.
Yeah. It's a weird one because when you say it, I would love from my kid and any kid to have that confidence to punch people in the dicks. No, but like I do recognize that.
I have to say, just pause for a second.
I'm wearing my
Tina
sunglasses.
Is sitting in front, wearing a pair of sunglasses and a Joseph Technicolor Dreamcoat cardigan. We're going to have to include a photo of how she's
the
recording.
The sun is shining in the window. And I didn't want to complain.
Her lack
about
of
it.
Confidence and the number of times she punched boys in the dick for making romantic advances towards it. I say romantic advances. These were Midlands boys in the 80s
west,
and 90s.
West of Ireland.
Specifically when she went west and she was an exotic creature.
I was exotic there, yeah.
I definitely was overcompensating, since you ask about my confidence.
No, but I haven't finished, actually.
All right, okay.
Because what you said today was, but you had the confidence to not just do what everyone else was doing.
You didn't go with the flow.
And you had the confidence to, if someone messaged you, to be like, don't mess with me.
Yeah.
That I will admit, and I still have that.
Yeah.
But I never thought, I'm great. I never thought,
well, you see, that's you confusing what exactly my point, that for somebody to believe in themselves, they couldn't get ahead of themselves. You were told to, reduce your confidence level to the point where you didn't walk around thinking, I'm great. But you should walk around thinking you're great.
Do you know how little I walked around thinking I'm great? I still remember the few days in my life where in Navan Town, I walked home thinking I'm great. I remember, always trying to get that feeling back.
Yeah,
the odd day where I would walk home with my shoulders back and my head high and feeling powerful. I remember those days clearly because they happened so rarely. But you had confidence. You were making yourself close.
Well, I remember. Yeah, I had the confidence, or maybe the dumb hubris, to construct my own denim jacket from a sleeveless gilet and a pair of jeans. Now, I've told this on the show before, where my mother helped me cut off the legs of a pair of jeans and attach them to a gilet.
That's a weird sense
because
of humor
I wanted
on your mother's part there.
A denim jacket.
Yeah.
I asked her, could I cut the pockets off and make breast pockets out of denim for it too? I mean, it's like something Kanye would wear now. And he'd be called a genius.
But the sleeves must have been so uncomfortable.
They were baggy enough jeans.
It was like your Dolly Parton coat of many colours.
Look, I definitely was accused of being a cocky little prick.
You were
in the day.
So confident when we first met.
It's I feel all like overcompensation.
I feel like I knocked it out of you. Like Gerlet
yeah.
blew me away.
You'd have to say.
I noticed him walking through UCD and I was like, who the hell is this guy with all the self-belief?
Yeah, it's all an act. It's all an act. No, no, it wasn't an act. I really believed in myself. Then I met you and you straightened me up.
I just spat out my water.
You let me know exactly how
I do worry about
confident
that,
I should be in myself. Here's your left.
I do worry about that.
What have you got for us on the show this week, Tina?
Well, we've got three amazing questions and now I'm doing that old panicky thing where I'm trying to
remember. Well, one of them is about confidence.
The first one is about self-confidence. The second one is about fungal infections.
Oh, great. Yay.
Yeah, right?
Finally.
You think you have problems.
I thought you were going to say
Where'd
earwax.
Where did you hear this question?
My algorithm keeps giving me footage of people cleaning out their ears.
Oh, Jared, those are gross. I've told you to stop that now.
And like, it's fully like, mining.
No, it's disgusting. And I
a
can't
camera on the end of a hook pulling wax out of people's ears.
I've just
ears.
Had people getting in touch all week going, you're really afraid of stickers. That's ridiculous.
You did
yeah,
you?
Yeah. And the last question is about a little girl in England actually is having really tricky friendship issues and the mom doesn't have a notion what she should be doing to help her daughter through this.
Okay. Well, if you come over to patreon.com/Irishmanabroad, you get an extra chunk. This week we're talking about the rise of anxiety in our kids, sleep interruptions, and how do you help a kid that isn't like a small kid if their sleep is being interrupted? What should you look at first?
And also my obsession, my Instagram obsession at the moment. We're talking about that.
You're in Instagram
you
obsession.
You know what it is. I make you watch it all.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. We'll get to that in the Patreon juicy goodness over there. For the price of a pint each month, you can get access to huge a back catalogue of episodes from us that are full. There's a full chunk each week. And then there's a full pre-season of the show that's never really been released to the public that you can find over there, as well as hundreds and hundreds of interviews with the greatest mm-hmm. Irish people who've ever lived.
Mary McKeown podcast, my absolute fave.
Sometimes I do not know how it got done or how it's getting done, but it is getting done, just like parenting.
Yeah.
How the hell are we getting it done? We are getting it done.
Yeah.
Let's get to question number one. My confidence ended when I would go on a basketball court or a sports field. I was a choke merchant for years. Like I just couldn't. I might have been believed in myself, my ability to draw or whatever. And, you know, thought I was funny as a kid. But I would go out in the field and just clam up like I want to hide.
Like Mayo team do every year.
Oh,
I'm allowed to say that.
Fire.
I'm allowed to say that. That Mayo team has been breaking my heart since the day I was born.
But they definitely don't hide. I mean, I was trying to just like be somewhere else while
really?
I was out there. And I can remember my heart in my mouth grabbing rebounds and stuff.
The clearest ducks of it.
Yeah, it was not fun and not a fun feeling. And I do not know how I overcame that. Whereas, like Tina says, she's not a confident kid. But Tina was out there baiting into girls on the camogie field, like hammering people, learning kung fu on a Tuesday night,
yeah.
threatening lads. I know karate. That's yeah. who you were.
Yeah, I don't
Little
know
Little old jar who would later go on to be.
But I'd die if a teacher asked me to read in class or if they asked me a question.
Yeah, isn't it funny?
I'd
the
die.
Kind of boundaries of yeah. confidence.
Mm.
And that's what our first question is about. Hi, Tina. Not Jarlath. They don't want my opinion on this. I hope you're keeping well.
I didn't even know.
I have
that.
A quick question for you. If I can be a bit cheeky. It's never cheeky to email this show.
Never.
This is
ever
the opposite
cheeky.
Of cheeky.
And I love this lady because she is a repeat emailer. She's gotten in touch a few times.
Do you have any books or recommendations to help build my son's confidence? Long story short, there is a particular boy in school who isn't being very nice to my son. Twin boy, aged 6. The potential bullying side of it is being taken care of by the school and his teacher. But I would love to try to build his self-confidence so he doesn't put as much weight into mean words he hears from this other boy. My son has been very hard on himself recently, telling me that he is fat and stupid and slow at running. He is the type of child that is a worrier, an overthinker, like his ma, and I would love to help him learn some coping skills for handling this. His teacher is going to set him up with a gratitude journal in school to document all the things he's good at. And he will work on that during the week and as part of his homework. But he loves reading and stories. So if you have any suggestions, good books to help with his self-confidence, be really grateful. Thanks so much as ever for all your advice. Anonymous.
Yeah, well, you know, straight away there's something that when you read the question sometimes, I find it really interesting that firstly, I obviously never read these questions slow enough because when you read them out to me again, I'm like, oh, I've noticed something I didn't notice. And I go back to the mom.
Yeah.
And that is that this is a twin boy. So there's so much more to the way he's feeling about himself because there's an unconscious comparison.
At all times.
At all times. And so even if this hasn't been imposed by the parents, it could be self-imposed between the twins and that he's noticing that his brother is better at certain stuff than he is. So like that's really, really hard for the mom because, you know, that's manifesting now in him being feeling a little bit insecure and not having as much confidence. He might look up to his twin brother in a way or might feel lesser than. I'm guessing. I don't know.
Well, but, that's a totally different dynamic, isn't it? When there's an identical person next to you excelling at things that you maybe aren't excelling at.
Yeah, and it's not always the case, but sometimes there tends to be the stronger, more dominant twin and then the quieter, very lacking in confidence twin.
Yeah, can happen.
Not all the time, but I mean, we lived in St. Albans. There was basically, the classes were basically twins. Yeah. Like there were so many
everywhere.
Twins in St. Albans. It was Twin City. And we just seemed to be met with the strong twin and the weaker twin all the time. And trying to build up the other child to believe in themselves just as much as the other kid.
So this kid in school is criticizing him. And he's not taking it well.
No.
And he's not going, I'll show you. He's climbing up and going small.
Yeah. But they're 6 years
old. And agreeing, I am overweight, stupid and slow.
And that's why I think there's more to it in that, well, why is he already feeling that little bit less? I feel like maybe he's the quieter twin and he's comparing himself to his brother the whole time.
What about this gratitude journal? That sounds like a good way to go.
What a great teacher to do that. And I also mentioned to this mother that I feel like a journal in the house of their own would be great. And I know I'm always banging on about that head plan journal for kids. And it is very expensive. It's just, I've always believed in journaling. And then when I discovered head plan, it's so great because children find the empty page so hard. But with head plan, there's all these leading questions, all these leading reflective questions. But I said to this mom, like, you can just make your own journal. Because you might not want him journaling forever. And you could just do a month of leading questions yourself. Make it for him and have him do that.
Confidence is a funny one though, right? Because it's like you can't put your finger on it. You can't hold it. It's just a certain sense of self.
And it's baffling. I mean, it is one of the things that I can tell you right now that every teacher will talk about to other teachers. The kids who are confident in their class and where do they get this confidence from? Because more often than not, the really confident kid in your class is the one who is, you think the parents are too tough on them. And you're always bamboozled by the confidence because you're like, it's amazing how confident he is because the parents never stop at him.
And that's the overcompensation.
You think, isn't it? You've
that's what I think
that
it is.
It is.
Well, like in sports, the theories that I've read on it is putting your child in difficult situations is the answer.
Yeah, building resilience so that they find the confidence
in
themselves.
The two are so tied.
I think parents of our generation are struggling with that because we're not allowing our kids opportunities
to
build resilience. Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, when I say it as like, you know, if you're trying to build confidence in a team, you deliberately put them up against it. You kind of position the pieces on the board at practice, whereas like there's no way they can do that in that time. And then they do. And at the end of it, they go, we actually did it. And we proved the coach wrong.
Yeah, because I remember having those feelings. I remember having, like, being in my camogie match or a basketball match or about to do an Irish dancing thing and going, I'm going to show you. And I want that for my kid. I want him to have a feeling of, you don't have me figured out just yet.
Yeah.
But I said to this mom, you know, really a thing that I know that works straight away is peppering your child with compliments when they're not doing stuff.
Oh, right.
Like noticing
over complimenting.
No, no. It's kind of like saying things like, oh, I noticed that you dealt really well with going into school today. It made me so happy to see you going to school so confidently. Or,
yeah,
you know,
I spotted you.
Yeah, I know I heard from your teacher that you're being a really good friend at school. Well done. That's really nice to hear that. You know, just things like this that they think, oh, you're planting seeds.
Yeah, so rather than, you know who's the best boy in the world? Mm. I mean, yeah. That's the overarching compliment that I think hits nothing. That it's not making contact with any internal dialogue for them.
Also, if
it's just my mom's my biggest fan.
And
again.
If they don't believe it, you're just
talking shite.
Yeah, you're just talking shite to them. Whereas if you're like, I noticed or I heard or somebody told me.
Yeah, little birdie told me.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Somebody told me.
People are talking about that. Yeah.
In terms
and you
of
can
books,
get feedback from the teacher on that to have the in.
Yes, and get her doing it in the classroom too. Why not? Get the principal involved. We
sunglasses are back on, Tina. Maybe get him a pair of sunglasses. We'll walk in wearing a pair of shades and a Technicolor dream coat.
The sunglasses are on because I don't want to complain about the sun. I've missed the sun so much, but it's streaming in the window here and Jarlett's positioned himself in a place where
you're never happy with the studio. Either a rat or too much sun.
So this lady got in touch asking for book recommendations. And I found it really hard to think of books for six-year-old boys. It's a very tricky age that you can reach kids at.
Because and can a book do that?
A book can definitely do that. It's way easier, though, for it to happen pre-4 or post-8. Because you've got all these books available to you. Are you going to say the book I recommended, I wonder? Go on, go for it.
The one about the table tennis lad.
Kid Awesome. That's what I told her. That's the one. That's so
great
funny.
Book.
I told her that book is the only one I could think of, but it's a brilliant book.
Hell
and
of a
I
book.
Said,
what's it called? Kid Awesome?
Yeah, Kid Awesome. It's, oh God, what's his name? Sneed or something.
I'll look it up. Go on.
I told her he's not going to be able to read it by himself. You're going to have to read it with him. But it's absolutely fantastic book. And then I did something very controversial, Jarlett.
What?
I recommended some animations.
Oh, some videos on the YouTube.
I have videos on the YouTube. I recommended Moana and Wreck-It Ralph. They're brilliant for that age.
They're amazing.
Yeah.
Wreck-It Ralph really gets me every time.
It's already crying. Yeah, I was like, watch some of these videos. They're brilliant. Even, dare I say it, Frozen.
Oh, Lord.
And she's likely not to ever watch that because she's got boys, where it's actually a great film about
resilience.
Right.
Matthew Saeed is the guy who wrote You Are Awesome, Find Your Confidence.
It's not called Kid Awesome.
You recommended a book.
No, I definitely gave the right name because I looked it up.
Find Your Confidence and Dare to be Brilliant at Almost Anything. Great, great book. Mm. I had a book when I was about 6 called My Book About Me. I wonder do they still make
that
it?
That came up as a recommendation.
Really?
Yeah.
Because it was made by Dr. Zeus. Mm. And it lets you fill in all the things you're proud of in yourself.
Well, that is good that touched you in that way, Jarlett, because 6 is a difficult age to get a child to listen in and take heed of a message in
it
a book.
It is still going. My Book About Me by Dr. Zeus. And you get to put your picture on the cover. And I guess it does work because it's a celebration of you, this book.
Well, you really weren't getting much compliment.
Back to write a book about myself. No, it really helped me. And then when I was about 12, I thought I was hilarious. I went through the book, taking the piss out of all my answers.
Oh, no. About yourself? Mm. Oh, my God. So what did you roasted yourself?
Yeah.
And the last thing I did say to this mom, which I think is a really good idea and something I'm trying to practice for myself and with our family, is before they go to bed, ask for 3 things that they did that day that made them feel good about themselves.
Mm, that's really good.
So that they close their eyes feeling good about themselves, you know?
Not to keep bringing this back to my stand-up show, but in my show, I tell people that to prepare Mikey for coming back to Ireland. Yeah. We used to slag him off before bed.
People think that's a joke, but we really did do this. We didn't slag him, but we just had to get him used to the piss being taken out of him.
But here's the thing with this kid who's saying these mean things to him, that maybe you need to have a bit more messing in the house, because sometimes messing is this guy's crossed the line.
Yeah,
That his messing is okay, but I'm saying it's hard to build a resilience in your kid for piss take stuff, but this is going to be part of life living where you live.
I don't know if they're in Ireland, but if they are, honestly, we started to panic when we realized we're moving home, and Mikey's friends were all just so polite.
Yeah, like supportive.
They were so, like, the idea of taking the piss out of each other just didn't happen. Like, you know, when they get their results, they'd be like, well done you, Mikey.
Clapping them on the back. You're doing great.
I'm so proud of you. All that work's paying off. And now he's back with,
lay down and go home.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you? Oh, you big lick.
Yeah, you big lick.
Anyway, I hope that helps. Get in touch if you've got a book that has helped your kids with their confidence.
That is the shout out.
Or
I
if you have
I
a
do.
Life hack or method through which you can get a kid to start believing in themselves. Because it is not one hard and fast rule on this.
No, I'm still not there. Are you?
Yeah, I mean, every single one of them is different.
Yeah.
That's why you should never listen to anybody telling you, this is how it's done and that's that.
And like I said to this mom, if none of this works, just get back to me. We'll try something else.
I mean, I knew I was in a very strange school with regards to confidence when I can remember having a conversation in history class with a lad going, you love yourself. Oh. And Tina goes, oh, like, this was so normal. You're in love with yourself. Like, and I remember saying to him, I don't hate myself. And him going, like, no, you love yourself. And I was like, well, do you not like yourself?
Oh my God.
Because that's kind of worrying, I said. I mean, you're moving through life with you. You don't like you.
Oh my God, Jerry, that's awful. Because you must have made him feel like such a dick.
But like, we were 14.
Oh,
and he's like, you know, like, I'm not in love with myself, but you are. And I was like, God almighty, what's led you to believe this? I was like, I don't consciously walk around smooching myself in mirrors.
No, but you did have swagger, because I remember.
Not at 14. At 14, I had, you know, this honker that I talk about, my nose, that I have to go to the gym to do gym work to balance out my face. Like, there's a reason why I have a big quiff. I have to do cheek workouts to make my nose seem less prominent. But on the end of that nose was a gigantic spot that would not go away.
That's horrific, you poor thing.
I had it as a teenager. Years. If you
obviously didn't know about germline.
It's funny, I got my first girlfriend within a month of it disappearing.
Oh, that's awful.
Turned 15, it fecked off, and let the romance begin.
But did your mother not chase you around trying to get rid of it? My mom wouldn't let us have anything on her face.
Don't tell me about people squeezing.
She'd be after you.
I was mad was that I had been hospitalized with psoriasis at the age of 14. And I should have said, while we're here.
Yeah, could you sort this out?
Anyway, question number two. Dear Tina and Jarrett, I adore your show. My husband found it and I am hooked since his recommendation. I need your help. My son is 6 years old and he sweats a lot. So he ends up getting a fungal infection in his bottom.
I haven't read this email.
My first thought is, after talking about my skin issues,
sweaty bum cheeks.
I feel so bad
horrific.
For this kid.
It must be so
because
uncomfortable.
When I had psoriasis at that level, it's so uncomfortable.
Oh no,
it changes your personality.
Yeah, absolutely.
The poor
sitting
kid.
Sitting down. Nightmare.
We ask him to change his underwear 3 to 4 times a day, especially after coming from sports or school. He's only six.
6 years old, yeah.
Please suggest what kind of underwear should we buy him. He currently wears Calvin Klein cotton briefs for kids. How can we help him manage this? And have you seen this before? Do we need to get him seen by a doctor? I would say definitely
Oh, I definitely think you need to go to a doctor because there are incredible to
a dermatologist.
Fungal creams out there.
They're yeah, but also, you know, just to, like, she's on it right away. Like, the kid is obviously very active. He's in sport. He sweats a lot. I'm a big sweater in sport as well.
Yeah.
And you're in the golden age of but
there's more wicking going on
material.
Yeah, but there is more going on there in that, you know, he obviously still needs help with his toileting. Because for it to becoming a fungal thing, he's not cleaning himself properly there.
I see.
I would imagine these are the things she's going to need to start doing. First of all, he needs some powder in his pants.
Okay.
He needs to be putting powder.
So you have seen similar.
I have not seen fungal infections there, but I have seen situations that have grown out of not cleaning ourselves properly. And then also
putting their hands down.
Hot, hands going down. I mean, the danger here is that fungal infection can spread somewhere else.
Yeah, or around the family.
Yeah, I mean, it's great that they're able to change his pants and that he's able to independently do that. But there are ways to help him that won't be so, what made him feel as bad about himself? Because when he's consistently changing his pants, that's going to be tough.
Should they look at the diet as well? Because certainly psoriasis, for example, is connected to the intestinal wall.
Yeah.
Having a leaky gut. And toxins coming from there, resulting in that. I'm saying if he's having difficulty wiping, I wonder is there enough fiber in the diet?
True. I definitely think you can't take our advice on this. You need to go to a doctor.
Yeah, dermatologist is going to set you straight on this. Because the other thing is, if you think we've seen it before, Tina's seen it before, dermatologist definitely has.
Oh, absolutely. And also it could just come down to the powder in the pants and then also a nightly bath again, you know, where this area is being cleaned with a bit of tea tree in the water or something. But the thing I would say here is this is not a condition that needs to be lived with. This is something you can get.
Yeah, you're going to fix this. In terms of what underwear to wear as a sweaty runner running London Marathon 21st of April, Tina's delighted with this. I moved to Runderwear. Now, I know they don't make them for kids.
They do.
Do they?
I think so, because I remember when I was looking up ones for you.
Okay.
There's kids. Actually.
So there's a Runderwear brand, literally Runderware.
They're very expensive.
Eare. I put an extra E on the end there. That's for the extra comfort they provide, guys.
Ow.
I mean, these yokes are amazing if you're this way and you're prone to chafing. So even if you're a runner just tuning in here, these are the best. And they look very, very like something a Premier League footballer would wear when you slap them on.
Yeah.
So he'll feel cool in these as well. They're super expensive.
They are expensive. But you know what also? I would talk to the OT at the school because I'd imagine this kid needs some kind of sensory setup for his bottom.
God.
He needs something, one of those special cushions to sit on the carpet and on his chair. I mean, sitting, cycling, running, all these things are going to be a nightmare for him. He won't be allowed to go swimming.
A literal pain in the hole.
Oh, darling. They will be.
They would be.
This is something that can be fixed. Okay, go to a doctor, please. Go to the school. Tell the, what do you call those people in charge?
Senko.
Tell them, I need help. He's got a situation. He's very uncomfortable. The idea that
I'm
he's
delighted
in pain,
to think
he must be in pain.
That they will work through this.
Yeah,
because similarly, with my own skin issues at the 13, 14, you think it's never going to end. And it is so all encompassing.
I just don't understand why no one was putting spot cream on you. Like, why weren't you doing it?
Oh, Sean, I was trying everything.
Really? Nothing was working.
This is the other thing. It's like, this mom sounds like she's on it. And it can feel with skin.
Yeah.
It's never going to happen. And then you crack it.
Yeah. Oh, God, would you stop making references to bones?
That was an unintentional
but
pun.
You can imagine why it's so hard to get rid of. I mean, it's in the worst area to have a problem. Because it's so hard for that place not to be warm and sweaty. But I think this can be fixed.
I'm not going to keep banging on about confidence, but I do remember the girls having more confidence than the boys. And the boys' confidence was much more, how do you say, phony?
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I always felt like the girls knew about the birds and the bees before the lads. So they were kind of lording that over us.
No way.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
This final question, though, is a tough read.
Uh-oh.
Because this is about, you know, girls excluding another girl.
Which is the most common thing you'll see in a classroom of girls.
How young are we talking?
Oh, the minute they start nursery?
No.
Yeah. It's not every girl that does it. Boys do it too, but you see it a lot.
Jeepers. Okay, here we go. Honey, You're Ruining Our Kid is my go-to podcast, this emailer says. Nice. I love it so much. Now, I really need your advice, please. My daughter is in year 3 and told me yesterday that her best friend has been playing more and more with another of their friends. But they have begun making games, they say, are only for 2 people. And so my daughter can't join in. Also, if my daughter sits with her best friend at lunchtime, like she has for the last 3 years, the other friend becomes angry and it causes arguments. Holy moly.
Well, that's really tough. There's so many layers to this. I don't know
what to say to her, because when she told me, I just said that sounded like a tricky situation. Great response, by the way.
Big time.
And I understand it was upsetting for her. Again, amazing. Hearing and acknowledging her feelings. Yeah. Has Tina seen this in the classroom? What do you do? And what would you advise?
First of all, that's incredible reaction to her telling you, because that's all she needs. All she needs is a little bit of comfort, a little bit of this sucks, doesn't it? Second of all, you're going to need to go to the teacher, not the parents. Do not.
Sure, no, hold on. You can't go down and grab the other mom by the lapels and just say, you're going to be mean to my child and I will end you.
You might have to do
that. Or you go up to the actual child himself, push them in the chest and go, I know what you're doing.
Yeah, see, I'm terrible, because if it was my kid and I was in a position where I could get the child on their own, I'd
do it. You would not.
No, what has to be done here is you need to go to a teacher and you need to explain the situation and how your child's been feeling. Because there's a few things here. First of all, the kid who the child used to be best friends with might be really stressed out by the situation too.
Yes.
She might have got herself a very dominant friend here and she doesn't quite know how to handle it all. And is finding it so stressful, it's easier to just do what the dominant friend is telling her to do. And second of all, I don't know if I just said second of all, but third of all, whatever number I'm on.
B.
Yeah. You need to get the teacher to explain to the little girl who's trying to own friendships that that is not how friendships work. And that on no planet are you ever allowed to tell somebody it's a 2-person game unless you're married and that person doesn't want to have a threesome.
Okay. Can you stop bringing our personal life into the podcast? I'm not comfortable having a threesome.
I think I'd get sick if you said, let's have a threesome. I'd be like,
don't pretend that it's me.
You know what I do? I'd be like, go for your life. I'll sit over here. I'll have a rest.
I'll have a book. Fantastic. Another thing off my plate.
I'm so
busy
tired.
Enough as it is. Oh my God. This email, though, is going to resonate with so many people, because, like you say, this is not just girls doing this.
No, it's not just girls, but the teacher won't be surprised. And the teacher will know how to deal with it because she knows the kids and she's seen it a million times before. I mean, it's sad that it's been allowed to occur, because normally you try and set up an environment where the rules about friendships and isolation are clear and that kids know not to do it. And other kids know how to say things like, I'm not comfortable with you leaving that kid out. We do a lot of that now. You know, this is my space. I'm allowed to be who I want to be. I'm allowed to sit with who I want to sit with. So it is sad that this has happened, but definitely your teacher will know how to stamp it out.
Right. Well, like, I think that some of the advice this person is looking for is how to talk to
her
their
daughter.
Yeah. What's your advice there?
Well, you know, the really hard part of this is that your daughter's going through it. But the positive part is that resilience we talked about earlier, in that she's going to be better at coping with this when it happens again. And being that she is a girl, it's going to happen again. friendships, girl friendships are tough for your whole life. You are navigating storms of emotions and you gotta get good at coping and not overreacting or being too sensitive about friendships, because it's just a constant thing in your life. And I love that the mother is allowing her daughter, like, what a great environment she set up there where her daughter actually told her in the first place.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That is beautiful, and well done you getting to that. I mean, I have all the tools. I still can't get my kid to tell me anything about school. So yeah. That's amazing.
The book that I've been recommending the last few weeks obviously has application for every age level. It's How to Talk to Your Teens So That They Will Listen, and How to Listen So That They Will Talk. And in that book this week, they were just talking about exactly what this mom did, which was to acknowledge the feelings first.
Not to go to fixing, just listen and say, okay, I hear you.
And one of the things they suggested was putting together a list where she gets to problem solve.
Okay.
That together they get to problem solve. And this usually works well if it's something like around the house where they're not doing their part, they're not doing their bit.
Mm.
Like, well, what do you suggest we do? Putting down that list of suggestions and allowing all the suggestions, kick her in the bum. Okay, well, let's put that on the list.
Yeah,
and that gets a laugh.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you work through the list and they feel like much more empowered and more grown up
doing this. That links into that sense of resilience and being able to cope with it better next time. But in terms of going to a teacher, don't let your daughter know you're doing that.
Yeah.
Keep that
that's
between the
grown-ups. That's big grown-up stuff.
Yeah, unless it becomes an issue that you have to tell your daughter. Otherwise, just keep that with the grown-ups. She doesn't need to know, because that might stress her out even more, knowing that. But please get back to us. Let us know how this works out, because it's a really horrible one. I hate these kind of ones.
We've got an awful lot more over on patreon.com/IrishmanAbroad, but that is it for our free episode this week. Come and see me live in Sligo on St. Patrick's weekend if you're around the 16th and 17th. The show on the 16th is completely sold out. Next week, I'll be in London at Shepherd's Bush Empire. We'd love you to come along to that.
So excited to go to that.
And thanks to everybody who came out to see the show in Cardiff last night. Sunday night in Cardiff was absolutely brilliant. And in Radlett on Friday, that was mad. And Wexford was an absolutely crazy one. But guys, thank you so much for listening. Pop over to Patreon now and start getting a little more.
Hope to see some people in Mayo too. I'm so excited to get to go to Westport.
There's only a couple of tickets left there.